Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Charity Stripe on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws because they are free. Joshua Fisher, Alexander Tossman, the Rock, Disopolis. Toss. Our two teams play tomorrow, Mavs Celtics. Very exciting stuff. How do you feel about the Mavs to start the year, man?
I feel okay. I don't feel great. You should feel pretty good.
I feel
about Celtics.
Yeah, last night was a little lackluster, or the other night was a little lackluster against the Bulls.
But what, they won eight games straight before that, though?
Yeah, I mean, we went on an absolute tear. I feel really good. Happy to have Brogdon and Smart back. Obviously, he's a new piece that we need to work in. Rob Will's still not playing, so we're not even at our peak yet. But obviously, Jalen and Jason are off to a fantastic start.
I saw an interesting graphic that was every NBA team's biggest disappointment, and the Celtics had no one listed. They were the only team in the NBA that it does not currently have a disappointment. And I would say the only disappointment is that Danilo Gallinari got hurt at the beginning of the season. Prior to the NBA season starting, there's nothing you can do about that, though. So I think all things considered, things are going pretty swimmingly for the Seas. The biggest disappointment that was listed on this particular graphic that I saw on Twitter for the Mavs was Christian Wood, which I thought was a little unfair because I actually think in his limited minutes that he's played, he's actually been very, very good. I say limited minutes because there seems to already be a contentious relationship between him and Jason Kidd. And we're not even, a fourth of the way through the season yet. So that's slightly concerning. Our record, we're still above 500. I think we're like the ninth seed in the West right now. There's a lot of parity in the West. So that doesn't really mean much because, teams ranked number 4 through 13 in the West all have about the same record as of now.
That's true.
I would say my biggest disappointment with the Mavs thus far has been, from a player-specific standpoint, it's been Reggie Bullock, just because his shooting has not been there. Reggie Bullock and Dorian Finney-Smith take the most open shots in the NBA, courtesy of Luka Doncic. Now, there's actually statistics behind this. Of the guys that take the most open shots, they both are shooting, I think, the lowest percentage right now. He's right there with the other guys in the top of the league at the top of the MVP race right now. you know, he's there, Tatum's there, obviously, if the Celtics remained in the number one spot. Embiid got banged up. He'll miss two games, but I think he's still in contention.
Giannis.
We'll see. Giannis, yeah, and then Steph. We'll see, you know, if the Warriors can kind of turn things around. But the Mavericks, to me, don't feel – they don't feel worse than their team last year, but they certainly don't feel better. Luka feels better, but I feel like some of our other players have either declined, or part of that's just aging, or we didn't do enough to get the pieces around him. The one really good bright spot, though, has been Josh Green, who I've been incredibly, incredibly impressed with. Defensively, he's always been a kind of a grinder, a guy that's going to jump on the ground, dive, put his body on the line, but he is shooting the three-point ball at a very high clip. Extremely. And I'm at the point where I'm like, I'd like to see him in our starting lineup as opposed to Reggie Bullock.
Yeah.
Cause he also can attack the offensive glass, and he's an incredible athlete in the open court. He puts some real pressure on the defense. So all that to say, it's still a little bit of wait and see, but you know, I know already that this is a team that's going to need to make a move midseason.
Yeah. And I'm curious to see who's really available. And I actually have a question for you. Cause me and my buddy were debating it the other day.
Well, apparently Kyrie is available.
Really? That's a shocker.
I saw that. Yeah.
That do you want that?
No, I don't. I mean, with any trade with the Mavs, it's who are you getting and who are you giving up? Right. And we just strictly don't have a lot of trade assets. And I want to see our team push for younger talent that we can then develop. We had Brunson, who turned into something. Dorian Finney-Smith has turned into a starter in the NBA. Maxi Kleber has turned into a decent big off the bench. Same with Dwight Powell, all guys that were homegrown. We don't have any guys right now that we're really doing that with, except for Josh Green. And then I think, you know, Jaden Hardy is our rookie this year. So let's see what he can become. But I at least like that he's young and he has the propensity to be a talented player. In what capacity? Does that mean he's a role player? Does that mean he's a bench player, a spark plug? Who knows? I just feel like we waste a lot of roster spots with guys like 8 through 15 or 12 through 15 with like a Frank Ntilikina, which how much better can that guy really get?
No, he's done. I mean, it's you. And you look across the league, there's issues are the Bulls going to sell or the Heat? And I know you said you wanted to get younger, but does Jimmy Butler become available? Does DeRozan or LaVine, seriously, because these guys now, you're in a position where you bring up the very interesting point of you don't know if you got worse, but you also don't know if you got better. And there's a lot of teams that got better, across the NBA. Even the Celtics, who made it to the finals last year and won the East, they got better. Milwaukee automatically, they're a kind of a stasis, you know, in the sense that they were the same, but they didn't have Middleton in the playoffs. And how much better do they really need to be? The Cavs obviously get better. The Pacers. The Pacers are one of the most peculiar teams. Them and the Kings are the two hottest teams, I guess, in the East and the West that are people didn't anticipate out of the hot teams. The right. Kings are a bit more understandable. You have Fox, you have Sabonis, two proven, all-star type veteran guys who could be all-stars. Sabonis has already been one.
About Kevin Herter off the bench, who was starting in Atlanta, right? A really big part of that Eastern Conference Finals run 2 years
Barnes
ago.
Has a ring. Murray was perceived to be one of the most ready prospects, and he's your fifth starter.
Who, so, by the way, his brother dropped 30 on
Chris
a team.
Murray on
Chris
Iowa?
Chris Murray dropped 30 the other night on a team.
Against Omaha, was that? When they had 100.
Someone not good, but they beat him by 60 points.
No, he's supposed to be good, though. I mean, the thing is with them is they were one of the teams we thought could be sneaky, but the Pacers are a team that we thought would sell and sell hard and tank hard. Obviously, your rookie of the year pick and Benedict Mathurin was looking fantastic. Not discluding everyone's rookie of the year pick and Paolo Banchero. And then, obviously, I have a lot of real estate. I may have some of the most real estate in the country on Tyrese Halliburton Island.
Yeah, I think everyone should have real estate on his island.
Well, now
it's just a savvy investment. But we know this team they're still not built for contention. So everything that's happening right now for them is actually it's fine. It's all good. They win as many games as possible. It's going to build confidence for their young guys, of course, and it just ups the stock value of guys like Buddy and guys like Miles Turner. So what used to be a trade just for Russell Westbrook now turns into a trade for something else where they're getting more in return if they want to move them.
Yeah, that's my big question to you, though. Why do you have to move either of those guys? Because, look, you're going to get Duarte back probably after the holiday, right? So then you have what will be one of the better backcourts of the future in Halliburton and Mathurin. And then you have Hield, you have Turner, you have Jalen Smith, who's been decent for them, you know, offensively at least, and he's getting rebounds. Duarte, then you have Isaiah Jackson. I mean, Nesmith, we'll see what happens.
O'Connell, obviously.
Yeah.
He's a good backup guard.
And Nemhard's actually, you know, for a rookie, Nemhard's been pretty good too. Like why do they, should they trade? Could it be one of those things where they mortgage a bit of the present for the future then in that case? Like, do you understand, hey, look, this team's not going to the Eastern Conference Finals. In the long run, they probably won't be better than Philly, who they're ahead of. They probably won't be better than Atlanta, which is about to lead me in my next question to you. I would imagine if everyone's playing in Brooklyn, they jump them in, and you bring up Jalen Brunson, who was fantastic against the Oklahoma City Thunder. I was extremely impressed by him. I watched that full game being at home on Long Island. You know, I mean, obviously, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I think, is a top 20 player in basketball. But I want to ask you this now, kind of shifting gears from the Pacers, who I think should maybe mortgage a bit of the present with Turner and Hield, although I don't think they have to. I think they can get away with trying to compete and have some fun. They draft well enough. Like, they have a good, like, system in place, and it's clearly in a presence where you're taking, like, a Duarte who's high floor, low ceiling. Halliburton, Mathurin, who I guess are in the same boat, like upperclassmen, not rookies out of college, you know, so as freshmen. So I think it's a position where the Pacers don't necessarily have to sell, although they're viewed as one of the teams with pieces that could. And I think it looks like they're having a lot of fun down there, and it's a nice, you know, change of heart over the last week. Okay, top five backcourts in basketball. It's tough. Really tough one.
Yeah. Okay. Let me think about this here. I would say top five backcourts. So, like, Tatum has to be excluded, right? Because he's a forward.
Yeah. Tatum's not in there.
It would be like you'd have to do like Smart and Brown if you wanted to, for example, the Celtics backcourt.
Yes, correct.
Okay. I mean, this is really, and yeah, and Kawhi is also a forward.
We could discuss.
I mean, where would you start? Where would you start? I think I like the Thunder a lot. I like Shai and Giddy. Like, is Giddy a guard? I think he's a guard.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I'm not saying
they're one, but I'm saying top five. That feels right to me.
Okay.
Are we just putting the Mavs and the Warriors in it because they have Steph and Luka? Like, I don't want to do it. Well, like the Warriors. That. I want to do like. Yeah. Go ahead.
No. It's the 1-2 punch. It's not just like you don't get a pass because your right hook is, you know, phenomenal. You need the jab. This Clay. Now, I guess we could start. I think the Thunder is a good place to start, but I think they're on the outside looking in. But if we do this, you know, this time next year, I think they're one of the teams that jump in. Whereas I think that
the Blazers are certainly in there.
Okay.
I don't know if you have them. You feel like they're an outside looking in team? Because I do not think I don't think so. Anthony Simons is the real deal, and obviously okay. Dame is Dame. I would say, the number one spot right now is Mitchell and Garland.
Okay, and over Murray and Young.
Yep.
Okay.
Because the Cavs are better, and I think that. I don't know. I just Donovan Mitchell's playing better basketball than Trae Young right now. So their number one guy is better. And Garland and DeJounte, you could split hairs with both of them. So to me, that the Cavs backcourt is better. But the Hawks certainly are in the mix right there. Who else? Who else is vying for this?
I like the Pelicans. This is a sneaky pick with Ingram and McCollum.
Okay, I think that Ingram's kind of
Okay,
positionally, I wouldn't include him.
My buddy excluded him as well, so we will Nix that. So we'll eliminate them.
John Desmond Bain.
That was my another sneaky pick I had. The issue with Jaws, he's hurt a lot, honestly, quite frankly. Not hurt to the point where like we're to worry. Just
banged up. Yeah.
He's consistently pretty banged up. So I don't know if I could put them one because you know me, I love availability. But I love your sneaky pick of the Blazers because I completely agree that Simons is truthfully the real deal. I just have a tough time. I know Clay had a great night the other night, and I'm so happy he did. I just have a tough time including him, to be honest.
To me, the Warriors, if both players are of dire importance in making this list, then I can't put the Warriors in there because he has not been good enough. Push comes to shove. I think Paul and Booker obviously has to be mentioned because there's few backcourts that I would take over the two of those guys.
So great. I think we kind of have it then. We'll see what happens with Benjamin Simmons and Kyrie Irving.
Sure.
So we have Murray. And are we including Smart and Brown?
I just mentioned them to kind of clarify who positionally fit.
Okay, but I don't.
Smart's just not, he's not the same caliber of player as DeJounte Murray. He's not the same caliber of player as Darius Garland.
I mean, he's defensive player of the year, but no.
He's incredibly valuable to a team. Yeah, but so is Tony Allen.
It's true.
It's great. And he was maybe deserving of that award. There were really, really good defensive bigs last year who I also think could have gotten the award too. And I wouldn't have been like, oh, Smart should have gotten it. He was deserving of it. So are other people. It's the same story every single year. Where your team ends up, what your team's total defensive rating is.
I'm a big fan of that.
Let's be honest. The defensive rating of the Boston Celtics is still very good when Marcus Smart is not on the field or on the court.
Yeah, I mean, of course. If you, especially if Rob Willen.
Yeah.
If you have Rob Willen, and
I knock this guy a lot in the playoffs, but the defensive rating of the Utah Jazz in times where Rudy Gobert was not on the court was atrocious. So he made a tremendous impact. And
I'm curious to see what they do in Minnesota. We'll get to them maybe in a second. Okay, so let's just see where we're at right now. We have the Suns. So I think we're settled, though. Suns, Blazers, Grizzlies, Cavs, and the Hawks. I would. Do you still give the Suns the nod at number one?
No. Paul has not been good enough this year to give them the nod at number one. I told you I would pick the Cavs would be my number one right now.
So could we go Cavs, Hawks, Suns, Blazers, Grizzlies?
Yeah, only because Ja hasn't been as available as we would have liked to have seen him. You know who's a sneaky contender? Who's definitely in the top 10?
Let me guess. Okay, is it a team with a player that just got injured pretty recently and they're really young? Are they really young?
They're very young.
The Pistons?
No, but hopefully they're in that conversation in 2 years, though.
I hope he's not out for the year. That'd be a disappointment. Okay. The Rockets?
Kevin Porter Jr. has been playing very good basketball this year, and Jalen Green is just—he's a 20-plus scorer. That's what he is. He's the 25-plus scorer, and it might happen this year, next year, and the rest of his career. At least until he, falls off age-wise, he'll average over 23 points per game every season.
So what? They just are so bad defensively that it just doesn't matter. I mean, they are so bad defensively.
Yeah. Yeah, well, who's on their team to defend? I mean, their veteran is Eric Gordon, who I love as an offensive spark plug, but who has never really played defense in his career. He was on the Harden team that played no defense whatsoever. Jabari Smith is the guy that is supposed to be your kind of defensive stalwart. He's a rookie. He's got to get assimilated to the league. And then Şengün is a really fun player. I like him a lot. He just can't protect the paint against guys that are bigger than him or quicker than him. He's not as big as Jokic, so it's tough.
Easton is honestly probably their best defensive player.
Yeah.
Which they are so bad. I mean, yeah, I'm a big fan of Dylan Green. I don't think Jabari Smith was obviously a bad pick. at all. I mean, it's like we're 15 games into the guy's career, so it's extremely tough to say. And I don't know about Chet. It's just in the smallest of sample sizes, looks like an unbelievable move by the Magic to go with Paolo.
Yeah. But that one, I can't. They had to take him. He's the best player.
Jabari Smith.
The fact that they were even considering Jabari Smith over Paolo Banchero, and I said it at the beginning of the college season. I didn't say it because Jabari wasn't even in the mix then for a reason. Because Paolo is the type of talent that you don't see every year.
I was blown away by Jabari Prini, and then we got to February, and I was kind of like...
We were blown away by their team, though. We were blown away by their team.
Yeah.
They have Walker Kessler, who is a contributing player on the Utah Jazz right now.
I mean,
they have Bruce Pearl, who's one of the best coaches in college basketball. Like, it wasn't just Jabari cooking everyone, him going for 35-plus every game. He wasn't doing that. He was highly efficient. And he has a really nice jumper for a guy that's his size.
Yes. I'm curious to see where he... I think teams get shy of a three-guard system, and I don't necessarily know why. I mean, obviously, like the trade the Kings and the Pacers made was fantastic for both teams, which is a rarity. I think that hindsight 2020... For the Rockets long term, a Mathurin pick or an Ivy pick.
Yeah.
Would have been probably. I mean, Ivy is, he to me is going to be every bit as advertised, in my opinion.
I agree.
I just,
I mean, we always felt like the upside was there for him more than Murray and Smith. And I think maybe everyone was undervaluing Murray a little bit. Just because of how good of a shooter and scorer he actually is at all three levels. But again, he's like a fit piece. And Ivy is like a takeover guy at his best, at what he could become. Same thing with Mathurin. Those guys take over a game. That's what they did in college. That's what they did.
Yeah. I want to throw one thing out there really quickly before we take a quick break. I think the worst franchise in the NBA, and for the longest time, you know, I've thought it was the Kings and the Magic. I truthfully think the worst franchise in basketball is Charlotte.
Yeah.
They're going to lose LaMelo Ball. And there's
Is that their fault, though? Like, did they give the Bobcats enough when they started?
I don't, we'll revisit that in a hot second. Josh Fisher, Alexander Tosman, and Octosopoulos, with a great question to leave off.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Right here. Don't go anywhere. We're the Charity Stripe.
We will be right back with the Charity Stripe on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.